We're looking this morning at Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. In those verses, the Apostle Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." The fact that the Apostle Paul speaks to children tells us something important, that children matter to God. That was revolutionary in Paul's day. Paul expected children to be in the church congregation, which is why we encourage parents and children to be in the congregation on a Sunday morning and to be involved in listening to the message from the Bible. Children in the ancient world were sometimes seen as unimportant, and are sometimes seen as unimportant, tragically, in so many Western countries today. Abortion legislation has been passed in various parliaments, and children before and even after birth are slowly losing many protections that were once afforded to them. But the Lord Jesus Christ turned the attitude of his culture upside down and welcomed children. The Apostle Paul speaks to children, and Jesus, in fact, made childlikeness a pattern of what it means to receive the kingdom of God. When we trust in him by faith, we do so with a childlike, a simple faith and trust, the trust of a child who jumps into a parent's arms. Paul says we jump into the embrace of Jesus Christ as Saviour King when we trust in him by faith. Paul addresses children then directly. He believes that God, the Holy Spirit, can be at work in children, that children can believe and respond to the word of God. So as Christians came together to praise God, to hear his word as we are doing today, God clearly assumes, Paul assumes, that children would be there and would hear and would listen and would be able to respond to what he says to them. And the words that he speaks in these verses are short and simple. And yet there is the gospel in these words too. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So the first thing I want to say is these words are soaked in the gospel. Paul tells children to obey their parents, but he doesn't only give a command, he gives reasons. Not just because that's good for society, or because it's good for family life, or because adults are more important than children. No, Paul gives a gospel reason for this command to obey parents. If we go back a few verses, we can see that this command to children, this word to children, is an example. Chapter 5, verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. There are various ways that is worked out. And one way that is worked out is in a family, where children are in an ordered family relationship. What does it mean to be a Christian, to live as God's new people in Christ, filled with the Spirit? Well, the way that works for children, says Paul, is children obey parents. And when they do that, it's not just some general command good for society. It's part of God's great plan, all centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord, says the Apostle Paul. This has got something to do with Jesus Christ and the gospel and God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. And in this letter, we've been looking over many weeks, Paul has spoken a great deal about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be in Christ. He begins the letter by praising the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. He's talked about believers being fitted together, growing as a holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 21. As the prisoner of the Lord, Paul has urged believers to walk worthy of the calling to which they've been called. He tells believers they were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. So behind what the Apostle Paul says here, what does it mean to walk and to live out the Christian life and to be light in darkness? One way children do that is by obeying their parents. This is right, says Paul. That's not just a throwaway line. He's saying when children obey parents, they're taking part in that new life that God gives his people to live well according to God's standards. Believers, including children, are being taught to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. The Christian faith is not a mindless faith. It involves your mind, thinking, understanding, putting on the new man, which was created after God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul is reminding children of the effect of the gospel. If you're going to live as God's new people, trusting in Jesus Christ, one way children who are Christians live out that new life is by obeying parents. So this sentence is soaked in the gospel. It's simple, it's obvious, it's appropriate for children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, says Paul, because of the gospel. So it's soaked in the gospel and it's driven by the gospel. Paul goes on to speak in verses 2 and 3 in chapter 6. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from the Ten Commandments. Let me try. See a little experiment. We'll start over here. Have a go. Can you tell me one of the Ten Commandments? You know one? Yeah, okay. Honor your father and mother. Good choice. Okay, so that's one. That's number five. You've only got nine left now. Do you know of another one? Well, that works out when Jesus says, love God, love your neighbor. But from the Ten Commandments, we could pick on one way you love your neighbor is not doing something. Not what? No lies. Yeah, okay. No lies. That's number nine. So now you've got eight left. Yeah, okay. No murder. That's number six. Wait. Yes. No other gods, only me, says God. That's the first commandment. So now it's getting a bit harder. Let's go along a bit further. Can you think of any more? Yeah, okay. No stealing. That's number eight. It's getting a lot harder now. Have a think of one. Can you think of one? Can you think of one? Anyone else can think of one? Think of one? Okay. No idols, God says. Second commandment. Don't put an idol in the place of God. Don't use God's name in a bad way. Yeah. One day in seven is for God. Observe the Sabbath day. One day in seven for God. And I think we've got all the others apart from number 10. Number 10 is not coveting, not always after and wanting the things that belong to someone else. So if you wanted to read the Ten Commandments, you could get them from Exodus chapter 20. But what Paul does, he takes one of the commandment. It's not just for little children, it's for everybody who has parents. But Paul specifically applies it here to children, those who are under the discipline of a family home. And he doesn't tell children, just do what God says, because you just have to do it. This is the gospel, so Paul is not saying that we are saved by our good works. That's certainly not what Paul is doing here. What he's applying is the Old Testament law in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he says this is linked to gospel promises. It's the first commandment with promise, says Paul. This is a big commandment with promise. Now in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, where we read the Ten Commandments, the promise there that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you. There in the Old Testament, it has particular reference to Canaan, to Israel. But now Paul widens and applies that to all believers, not just Jewish children, but Gentiles as well. The law of God in all its authority and promise. And he says, the land was important because it represented something. It represented the blessing of the kingdom of God. And we're taught that in many places in the Bible. So the promise is now, says the Apostle Paul, are linked to the gospel, which he has been talking about in this letter a great deal. So, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in Christ you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here's gospel promise, says the Apostle Paul. That by work of the Holy Spirit, you have an awareness that you're a child of God. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. Protected, watched over. God will complete the work that he's begun in you. Why? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit poured out by the risen Christ on those disciples on the day of Pentecost. The sign that God was fulfilling all the Old Testament promises in Christ. How can you be secure in a relationship with God this morning? How can you know that your future in God is secure, that you have a sure hope of heaven and eternal life? Because of the gospel promise, by the sealing of the Holy Spirit, God at work in you begins the work, he will bring it to its conclusion. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of God's glory. Ephesians 1 verse 14. So those who believe in Jesus Christ, children who believe in Jesus Christ, can be sure that they will live with God forever because God, the Holy Spirit, has marked them out as belonging to God. So the inheritance that the Old Testament speaks of points to a much greater promise, the new heavens and the new earth for all God's people. So even though Gentile believers were once without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, now from all the nations, God's people are fellow heirs of the same body and partakers in the promise through Christ in the gospel. So that a gospel preacher can say to anyone of whatever background, whatever nationality, if you turn from your sins, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you will be brought into the family of God and you will know the access to God that every other believer all over the world from all the nations has. And that's true for all who believe in Jesus Christ, whether from Israel or any nation. And if children fulfill this command, obey their parents then, they're not just following some arbitrary rule. You are taking part in God's great promise to his people through his son, Jesus Christ. So Paul is not just saying, be a good boy, be a good girl. He's saying you have a part to play in God's great promises. A part to play in God's plans. And a key way you honour Jesus Christ as Lord is by honouring your father, your mother. When your father, your mother tells you to do something, not to do something. It's not just what you're doing, you're honoring them. It's by remembering that if you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, you're not saved by good works, you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But you are then God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And one of those good works is obeying parents in the Lord in the light of that future spiritual reality. The blessing of an inheritance of eternal life. So it's why I try to include children in the church services. I need to speak in ways that children can hear and engage with. And at the same time, I would encourage us all, let's pray for God's Holy Spirit to be at work in children and in young people, that they may learn the great truths of the gospel. So these verses are soaked in the gospel. They're driven by the gospel. And they're thirdly commanded by God through the gospel. When I read these verses, and I was thinking about them, I was thinking, what about the thought police of our day? Imagine the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. That's the Bible in all its directness. By extension, I should say something that these verses apply to all relationships which involve authority. So by implication, they reach out to us all in different ways. not just in family life, but in a school with teachers, in society with those in authority over us, in the Church of Jesus Christ. So children obeying parents has many other implications as well. But many people today don't like the directness of the Bible. When the Bible says this is right. And they don't like it because it may not be politically correct. Many modern educationalists dismiss this as primitive. But the Word of God says this is right. And I would plead the example of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God the Son incarnate. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came into this world. And this is what Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Jesus was subject to his parents. That is staggering, isn't it? The parents of Jesus were imperfect. They were people of their era. They were poor. Their horizons were limited. But for the 30 years the Son of God lived under their roof, he was obedient to his parents. Which is why the apostle says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. A report the other day published a comparison of what teachers said were the top disciplinary problems in 1940 compared with the top problems now. In 1940, the top problems teachers reported were talking out of turn, chewing gum, making a noise, running in the corridors, pushing in lines, not wearing proper uniform, and dropping litter. Now, the list is different. What are the problems now? Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, teenage pregnancy, suicide, sexual assault. So you see why the commandment is important. Where the Bible says, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. The word honor, its basic meaning is heavy. Parents carry weight, the Bible says. Media stars like David Beckham and Taylor Swift do not. They're as light as a feather. The beliefs of film stars and sportsmen like Gary Lineker are as light as a feather. But as far as God is concerned, in a family setting, the father, the mother are weighty people. There's a Father's Day card which says, you loved me, fed me, kept me safe, watched me grow up, and even shared your chocolate. Well, God says parents care for children in so many ways. And if God, as judge, holds children accountable in these ways, he's doing so because parents are to reflect something of the honor of God. Let me also say something about mothers, because the Bible promotes a high view of motherhood that is beautiful and exalted. Motherhood is spoken about in awesome wonder in the Bible. The relationship exists between a mother and a son or daughter. When Jesus Christ appears in the Bible as the son of the Virgin Mary according to the flesh, that relationship is presented to us in a way that is exalted. We meet Mary frequently on the pages of the Gospels. Often she's in the background, but she's involved in the life of Jesus Christ. And when the cross finally tore her son's body, Mary felt it in her own heart. When she saw the death of her son taking the punishment for our sins on the cross of Calvary, we're told a sword pierced Mary's heart. So there's a lot of evidence for the high glory of motherhood in the Bible. Motherhood provides a woman with a great challenge. It will require great wisdom and emotional skill. Mothers are important in the lives of children, in molding and directing. Honor your father and your mother, the apostle says. So by honoring parents, we take to heart the instruction they give. You honor parents by letting them speak first, by answering respectfully, by saying thank you, by putting brakes on behavior when you're with older people. As part of honoring parents, pray for parents. Thank God for them. submit to their corrections, maintain and support them. There was a writer, Mark Twain, who famously described his own teenage years and his own attitude towards his father. Mark Twain wrote, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have him around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. When he was a young teenager, Mark Twain thought his father was out of it. His father just didn't get it. But when he was a bit older, he realized that he should have developed a respect for the wisdom of his father." So the Bible takes this very seriously. If children disobey and dishonor parents, their future is bleak, says the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16. "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt." Proverbs 20, verse 20. "Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out." Ravens feast on dead bodies. "You disrespect your parents," says the Bible, "you're dead meat." So honoring parents is a life and death matter. That's because all of us are born into this world with instincts and desires that are destructive and restrictive visions. Disobedience to parents doesn't just free us. It means we give our lives to other authorities. It's pleasing self, but it's also submitting to others. Our advertisers know this very well. They say to children, "You want to wear what the crowd wears. You need to play the computer games your friends play with. You need to use their language and listen to their music and do the things they do. And you need to defy your parents and do what you want." And when children grow up and they get a little older, they begin to realize that they need to give weight to the counsel of parents. Because you see, behind that, there exists a whole group and a whole regime of manipulating adults. Behind every fad in clothes and shoes and hairstyles, there are marketing men and women. Most of the youth culture isn't run by youth at all. It's dominated by adults who want to exploit and make money from children and young people. And for every then writing in a teenage magazine, there's a millionaire somewhere taking money to the bank. For every child who vapes, because other children think that's cool, there's an advertising executive and a tobacco company making money. For every youngster taking drugs, there's an adult drug dealer getting richer. So the Bible says, when you dishonor and disobey parents, what you will end up doing is being manipulated by others, by adults who are in the game of making money out of children. And they know what buttons to push. They know the rebellion and anger and sex and violence and peer pressure that are a powerful pull on confused children and teenagers. And there are marketeers who will push those buttons to make money. So the Apostle Paul is saying the direction of life is determined by whose voice you're listening to this morning, where you will spend eternity, heaven or hell. It'll be determined by whose voice you listen to. And one of the evidences of this, if you reject the voice of parents, if children reject that voice and listen instead either to their own prideful voice or the voice of those who want to manipulate them. There are people who don't love, don't care at all what happens, as long as they can make money. Ultimately, it's whether you listen to the voice of God. And in God's design, then, listening to parents is a training ground for listening to God. Those who don't listen to parents, who know what's best and who care for and love children, That's an indication. How will you know God's voice? Because God wants what's best for you too. You may think what you want is the best, but actually what you'll end up doing is letting other voices dominate for you. Why listen to voices that will ruin you instead of the voice that will give you life and happiness and fulfillment? The voice of Jesus. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come to wreck your life. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come to grab your money. And neither do parents who love their children. Jesus comes to give you life, life to the full, life more abundantly, which might make sense to trust him, to honor the Lord. And the evidence, or one of the evidences, and the way that is seen in a person's life is by honoring parents, the parents that God gives to us. So Paul is driven by the gospel in all that he's saying here. He's not saying, if you honor your parents, if you obey your parents, you'll be saved because your good works will save you. We're not saved by good works. Paul has already made that very clear. Let me read Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8, 9, 10 to you again. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, the one who comes to forgive and cleanse and give us life to the full. But those who trust in him, those who know his grace, know his mercy, know his forgiveness, know his kindness, know also that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. And what is one of the evidences of God's work in you? What is the one of those good works which are evidences of true faith? Well, here's one of them. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." So let's come to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us this morning. It's a challenging word to all of us, whatever age we are. And we pray, Lord, that by your word and by your Holy Spirit, you will work in every heart and in every life. We thank you that Jesus Christ, the mighty Savior, came to give life to the full, to all who trust in him. We thank you for that wonderful grace that leads us to trust in Jesus Christ this morning for all acceptance before God and forgiveness of sins. But we pray that there will be worked out in every life, that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And that evidence is seen in family life in so many remarkable ways. And we pray, Lord, that you will teach us your paths and your ways, and your paths are right and true. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that none perish who trust in him. So we come to you and ask that you'll hear us and help us this morning, for we come needing your Holy Spirit's power and help. But we come to our Father in heaven asking you'll hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now there's a hymn that talks about trust and obey, which is our closing hymn. And the main thrust of this hymn, of course, is obey, is trusting and obey Jesus Christ. But I've chosen it because it also leads us into what we've been thinking about this morning. One of the ways in which that is seen is children obeying parents, family life. So this hymn says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey." So we'll sing 794. We'll stand to sing. Let's pray together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon each one of you and with all God's people, both today and even forevermore, world without end. Amen.